Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B. I'm from New York, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, December the 6th, 2022. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 47, paragraph 2, which begins with, "We had to ask ourselves." Today we're, today's readers are 12 Steps, Rhonda R., 12 Traditions, Terry H. Our text reader today is Kara L., page 164 is Lois P., and our backup is Dana. Our newcomer greeter is Leah F., and our announcements are Reggie O. Thank you, everyone, for your service. The reference numbers from yesterday, Monday, December 5th at 10 a.m., 19,708. That's 19708. And the reference number from this morning's meeting at 7 a.m. Is 19,710, which is 19710. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And will Rhonda R. please read us the steps? Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, Diane, for your service. I'm Rhonda R., a grateful member in Atlanta, Georgia. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much. And now will Terry H. please read the traditions.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you, Diane, for your service. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, grateful to be a recovered food addict through God's grace. The 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be of service, and with that, I pass.
Thanks, Terry. How our meeting works. Excuse me. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 47 with the second paragraph, "We Had to Ask Ourselves." So now I'm going to ask Kara L. to please get us started. Thanks, Kara.
Thanks. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon the simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. And there is an asterisk there for spiritual experience, which I know we will read eventually. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Long Beach, California. This is a weighty paragraph. Did I believe, or was I even willing to believe, you know, in that there's a power greater than myself? Well, I was thought I believed. When I first came into the rooms and I saw the steps, I said, oh, I have a belief in God. I'm done. You know, my life's miserable. 1, 2, okay, yeah, I believe in God. 3, okay, move me through, get this done. And the truth is, I might have had an idea of what a higher power was, but I don't feel like I really took it in as a power that would actually help me, and that I really truly went from the theory of a higher power into the belief of a higher power. Today, you know, and what is that that steps me from like this bridge of logic over to the shore of faith? I don't know. I don't know what stepped me over. I don't know what steps other fellows over. All I know is that once that is made, once that was made for me, you know, my food obsession lifted, and so many things lifted, and I automatically started to turn to this power that I now believed in and ask for help. You know, and once that, once I stepped away from, I can fix this, I know how to do this, it's up to me to get it done, to, I don't know, please help me. And really believed that there was a power out there that would help me. And today, whenever I struggle, when anything's on my mind, to take that breath, to stop and say, I don't know. Please help me. Give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. You know, this book, the steps, help me to get to that point. And I'm ever so grateful. And with that, I pass, and I look forward to hearing what everyone else has to say today. Thank you.
Thank you. Wait, hold on one sec. Sorry, I got messed up here. Okay. Let's see. Thank you so much for getting us started, Kara. So now I will be able to take names. Let's see. Okay. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or Friday, we ask you to please step back so somebody else can have a chance. I will now take names of people who would like to share. Please give me your name, the initial of your last name, and the state that you're from. Star one to unmute.
Lydia T. Okay. From Michigan.
Okay, Lydia T.
Donna W.
Jana W.
Donna.
Donna, sorry.
Thank you.
Okay.
Jack A.
Jack A.
Bonnie B. from Minnesota.
Who was that from Minnesota?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. Thank you.
Liz from California.
I didn't hear any of you. So start again, please.
Stephanie W.
Got you. Somebody from California.
Liz A.
Liz A.
Leah F.
Leah F. We could take one more, two more. Okay, terrific. Let's stop there then. I have Donna W., Jack A., Bonnie B., Stephanie W., Liz A., and Leah F. Did I miss anyone? Great. Okay, Donna W., star one, Lydia. Unmute. Oh, who?
Lydia T.
Okay, Lydia T.
Am I first or was somebody else first?
Donna, oh, Lydia T is first. I'm sorry, I missed you there. Yep,
okay,
sorry. I thought I heard your name. Okay, Lydia, you're first, followed by Donna W. Thank you for correcting me.
Hi, this is Lydia T. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Lydia T from Marquette, Michigan, gratefully recovered today. I was just really moved by the reading this morning. The short question, do I now believe or am I even willing to believe? When I first started, I had shame in believing. You know, coming from a family that didn't have any beliefs, didn't go to church, didn't do anything like that, very intellectual family, you know, I felt shame that I was like less than if I was going to say that I believed. But this disease took me to the place that I was out of ideas because nothing I did worked, not a thing I tried. So I decided to try the opposite of what, you know, I was taught, and that was to surrender, get on my knees, and believe that something greater than myself could help me, because I self-sufficiency got me nowhere. And, you know, even just using my own conception, however limited, my conception today is still limited. And it grows the more contact I have with my higher power and the more contact that I can have through prayer, through, you know, reaching out to others, helping others, not thinking only of myself, which is where I was in the very beginning. It was all about me. That's how I grow, and my conception of my higher power grows. So it's not the same as it was in the beginning for me. But I know today that that if I just had that willingness is what got me to the other side, that now I do believe. I was willing to throw everything that I thought I knew out the window, and today I do believe. And my beliefs change as my understanding and growth changes in this program. That's all I have to share. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Lydia. Thanks for getting us started. Donna W., you're up, followed by Jack A.
Thank you so much. This is Donna W. calling in from Northern California. Grateful for my abstinence and my recovery and my higher power. And it's great to be reminded about my higher power. And, you know, I have always believed in the higher power, but I haven't really relied on my higher power. And so program's really helping me and constantly reminding me to rely on my higher power. And I've heard that there's like, you know, belief and then faith. And belief is like, you know, somebody tells me, hey, there's this great car mechanic down the road. And so I believe that they're great, but I don't have faith that they're great until I go there and experience it myself. So I'm daily working on the faith because I was brought up as to be a strong, independent woman, to do it all myself, figure it all out. And that's where my brain, you know, is wired. That's what my brain is wired to do. So I just want to say out loud today, you know, I was praying, I'm self-employed, I was praying for like one more client before the end of the year. And guess what? Yesterday I got one more client and it's awesome. And, you know, I'm also like, oh God, now I got to do a bunch of work. So, and I'm traveling next week. And I just need to say like, hey, higher power brought me this engagement. I get to be of maximum service and I get to trust that God's going to carry me through it. I don't have to figure it all out today. It helps me to do the next 15 minutes. Because doing one day at a time is often too much. So I do 15 minutes, God runs the show, and I get to trust and have faith that God is looking out for me today. And I get to relax and take it easy and stop struggling because I know how to struggle. I know how to struggle. And when I struggle, I get tired, angry, and guess what? The food is very, what have I heard? The food becomes a step up. So God's in charge. I just get to relax and take it easy. And I think that's going to be my mantra today. God's in charge. All is well. And I choose God today. I choose my loving higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Donna. Jack A. followed by Bonnie B., please.
Hi, this is Zach A. from Utah. I'm a grateful recovering food addict. I'm grateful to be abstinent today. And yeah, I love this paragraph. We need to ask ourselves one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there's a power greater than myself? And the big book talks about William James, who was a psychologist who used this idea to act as if. He coined that phrase, and he was a pragmatist, so he's basically, you know, saying like, if you have good results from what you're doing, who cares if it's true or not? If you can prove it, as long as you're getting the practical results you want. Heard someone else say on this meeting, I have a practical God. So a God who's involved in my life. And so I've been practicing this in my own life as a piano teacher. I think in my addiction, I carry the whole weight of the world on my shoulders, and I think I have to prove that what I'm doing is this amazing, perfect path, as if there's one true destiny path for me. And if I make one wrong decision, I'm totally blowing it and messing God's plan up for my life. I realize that that way of thinking is unmanageable. And all I really need to do is act as if what I'm doing is part of God's plan, and that I'm doing the best that I can. And I don't have to prove that something is like the one true path for my life. I just have to ask the question, how can I be helpful? So if I ask that question, how can I be helpful to my piano students or to my family members or whatever it is, and then something might come to mind, I don't need to prove if it's true true or not. I don't need to prove if God exists or not. All I need to do is act as if God exists and that there is some type of compassionate force out there that's giving me good ideas when I'm willing to try to let go of my ideas and just see how I can help someone. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Bonnie B., followed by Stephanie W.
I am here. Thank you so much, Diane, for your moderation this morning and for everyone's amazing shares. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God in the state of Minnesota today. Such an amazing paragraph. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe? So I came into the program with a belief, right? So for me, this seemed like a no-brainer. I had a lot to figure out, and that's all part of God's process for me. But I love the fact that it wasn't, do I now believe, period. It's, do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe? This opens the door for people. And willing to believe in something bigger than myself. And you can put your own name on it, right? And then it says he is on his way. And I put in my notes, on his way to what? Right? On his way to what? On his way to getting unblocked. On his way to finally being able to see the fingerprints of God. That's what I have in my notes. God shows up all over the place. He shows up in the chapters I would not have wanted in my book. He was all over the place. And so if I'm willing to keep my eyes fixed on one target, and that target has to be my higher power, who I choose to call the God of the Bible, and nothing else, not institutions, not people, not places, nothing else, he shows up. But when I take my eyes off of that target and start looking around, that's when I really have all these questions and all these doubts of, is God really God? Is he really there? Is he showing up? Is he not showing up? And that's when my program ends up not being as strong as it should be. And then the very last spot where it says, it has been proven that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. And that takes us back to page 567, which is that spiritual experience. And what is that? It's the slow growth of the transformation. It didn't happen for me overnight. The more I saw God show up, the more I believed that God was going to show up. The greater my faith became, the easier it was for me to relinquish everything that I thought I had to hold on to. It is a spiritual experience. It is the most beautiful thing. But we do have to say, I'm willing. And you can put dot, dot, dot at the end of that and then just look up. Because we serve a higher power / God that wants to be there for us. And wants to unblock us from those things that have separated us from him. And he does that daily for us as we work these steps. And so with that, I will pass. And once again, Bonnie B., Minnesota, and thank you, everyone, for your service. Blessings.
Thank you, Bonnie. Next, we have Stephanie W. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, I'm Stephanie W. I'm sorry, I had problems on muting. To me, it was a very good reading. Came to believe. I was raised up in church, so I always believed in God and that he was a power greater than myself. But I just did not believe that he cared about my weight loss. I always thought that there was so much going on in the world, so much people who were starving and people, so many wars and things like that, that my little eating problem was just far from on his list of concerns. But I'm thankful for this program because it taught me that through the God of my understanding, I started to understand that he cared about the things that I cared about. And if I just believed, and that's all it takes, is just a willingness and a willingness to believe that there is a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. And that's what got me on the road to knowing on the road to believing that this God can and will, if he was sought, he would take me out of my disease and my stinking thinking and get me on the road to a better way of life, and that's living the life of this program and living in the steps. And the steps brought me to where I am today at over 140-pound weight loss, and I'm thankful for that. And with that, I pass. Sorry. I'm supposed to I'm from Georgia, Eastern Standard County. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie from Georgia. Okie doke. Now we have Liz A. Liz, star one to unmute, please.
Sorry about that. Liz A. from California. Thank you, Diane, for your service and God. Terrific shares. I feel like I'm just a babe in the woods. Like many of you've shared, you know, I'm a figure it out girl. I've got to figure this out. And facing something that's quite difficult. And I've been just wrangling my brain. Do I do this? Do I do that? It's all on me. It's all on me. And then this morning, I was making my gratitude list, and I just stopped and said, how can I best serve thee? Show me the next indicated right thought or action. And the thought and action came to me, and all of a sudden, it's like, Liz, stop struggling. You don't have to figure this out. Just ask God how you can best serve him, and he'll put you on the right path. And I'm praying that that's right, and it just feels so good to just not have this burden. It's such a burden. And I've always believed in a God and a power greater than myself, but like many of you shared, I just didn't believe that it was personal to me. It was a God that created. And it's almost as if he created us, he created the world, and then he said, okay, go. You know, but that's not the reality. He's there in everything we do. He's in us. And it just, even if you don't believe, like many of you shared, act as if and ask the questions and pause. And it's just miraculous. You know, it's really, truly miraculous what that is. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Leah S.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, on this meeting. Such beautiful, beautiful shares. My name is Leah S. I'm recovered in Brooklyn, New York. And please bear with me as I go through the paragraph the way I went through it. What is a wonderfully effective spiritual structure? How does the Big Book know what is wonderful to me and what is really effective? So we go to the top of the paragraph, and I need to ask myself. That means I need to trust myself with the honesty of one question. Do I now believe? Am I willing to even jump into that bandwagon that I hear miracles? I see miracles. I've met so many of you. And am I willing to just give it a try? You know, this big book is so beautifully written, step by step, each page by page. On page 12, they're saying, are you willing to do the concept of God? If you're not willing to believe in him, at least do the concept of God. And you know, step by step, okay, let's do that concept, which for me is love, kindness, tolerance, and acceptance. And you know what? Practice it every day. Love, kindness, tolerance, and acceptance. Now, the miracles, No, that's way, way past. No, but isn't it a miracle that I got through one day and I was abstinent? I don't think out of everything else that I did, that the most miraculous miracle was that I got through a day with abstinence. And then the next day, oh my God, I got through another day. And then another year, my God, I don't even crave it anymore. And then another year, and then another year. So what is the difference of belief? Now I believe it. I believe it and I trust it. And I'm experiencing that spiritual experience. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah. Okay, so we are ready to take more names. Again, if you, excuse me, if you have shared in the last 3 days, we ask that you please step back, although we do value your experience, but we do ask also that others can share their experiences too. So I can take three, maybe four names.
Jan S.
Jan S.
Debbie P.
Debbie P.
Cheryl S.
Cheryl.
Jody E.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I have Jan S., Debbie P., Cheryl S., and Jody E. So Jan S., there are one to unmute, please, and please give us your state.
Good morning. This is Jan S., and I'm in Southern California. And I really like this paragraph today, certainly all the shares I've heard. And what jumped out at me was that the simple question, am I willing to believe? And if I am, the answer is that I have started with the cornerstone of growth with my higher power. And I find this interesting because if you look at a huge building, in the big case, your cornerstone is pretty small. So to actually think that that is the beginning of this spiritual relationship, then I'm willing to try that. And I notice willing is used two times in this particular paragraph and many times in this book and certainly in this chapter. And it goes back to if I'm willing to start building this relationship with my higher power by just this small cornerstone, then that means that I might be willing to use all our spiritual principles of honesty and hope and faith and courage. And that's a lot of willingness. And some days I'm more willing than others. But I have found that, as the big book says, that God doesn't ask too much of us to start this. So I have to go back to if I believe and if I'm willing to start building this relationship, then the miracles of program become present. And it says that it's a wonderfully effective spiritual structure. And to me, how beautiful is that? And what promises is that? The unknown gets better and better. So with that, I pass, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jan. Now we have Debbie P.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Debbie P. I'm from Indiana, recovered compulsive overeater. The part of this paragraph that really resonates with me is, as soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. And my experience has been that I just need the willingness of a mustard seed, and I can get help. And I guess from that standpoint, just being around program people, I mean, I just learn stuff and I absorb stuff, and I just have to be a little bit willing. I got more willing when I continued to see people that had what I wanted in meetings and how they worked their programs. I have a note at the edge of my of this paragraph. It says, step one is the foundation, step two is the stepping stone, and step three is the cornerstone. And what I've come to learn, I thought step two, I had to actually know who that power greater than myself is and have it defined and live just with that definition. And I've come to learn over the years that it's just the willingness. Step two is just about the willingness. I have to believe that I'm not the power greater than myself. I'm no longer in charge, and that all my best efforts got me here to these meetings. And so it's time to let go of this and let a power greater than myself take over my life. And it's been repeatedly proven, even in my in-between times of abstinence and binging over the last 12 years, it still has proven to me, and I have found that a power greater than myself is there, and it does help. And, you know, it's when I start believing the lies of the disease that tell me that I'm in charge, that I quit believing and I quit having the willingness. But it is willingness. Willingness is my best friend. And that's all I have today. Thank you for listening, and I will pass.
This is Cheryl S. in Nevada.
Yep, sorry, I forgot to unmute. Ha! Anyway, yes, Cheryl, you're up.
Okay, thank you. I thought maybe I unmuted when you were calling my name. So this is Cheryl S. in Nevada, and I am recovering. And I'm right here at step three. And there's two things about this paragraph. And these shares today have been amazing. Some of the best shares I've ever heard. But for me, I came in with a God, and I came in very close to my goal weight because I was in another program for a couple of years. But what I didn't come in with was the habit of stopping and asking God, what do I do? What do I do? And so where I'm at now in that process is like after the fact. So instead of on the fly asking God, after the fact, I think, oh, I should have stopped and prayed about that. And so I'm starting to get that awareness, and that's the progress for me. And the other thing is just a perfect example of this for me, and that is when I came in, like I said, I was pretty close to my goal weight, and I was asked to go and be a dietitian and go over a food plan, get a food plan. And, of course, my first thought was, I don't need to do that. I already have a food plan. And it got me down to my goal weight and blah, 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 blah. But then I did have that moment of like, Cheryl, you have to be willing. You have to, so be willing to do what somebody else is telling you to do. I started to get that realization that I was trying to run my life all the time, even though, like, consciously I didn't think I was, but my actions showed me that I was. So I went to see the dietitian, and she added food to my food plan. She added something, and I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to add food. And then once again, you know, I just had to say, wait, let's just go with this. So I feel like God has given me the perfect opportunity to practice counting on him through this experience with this dietitian. And I am amazed at the number of times I want to take back control in this situation. And it's such a wonderful experience for me because it's making it so conscious for me. This is what it's like to count on God. This is what it's like to let go and let God. This is what it's all about, to really have that faith and to believe that God is in charge of my life, not me. And it's a small thing, but you know what? That's what life is. It's those small lessons, and you just keep getting them, or at least I do. And then they become a habit, and then they just become part of my life. So that's all I have. Again, thank you, everybody, especially the people that shared. You guys were amazing. And I pass.
Thanks, Cheryl. Now we have Jody E., and if you could give us your state, please.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., and I'm in California. And thanks, everybody, for your beautiful shares this morning. So, yes, all I need is to be willing to believe, and I can begin the process, the structure. I can begin to build the structure, the spiritual structure that I can build by working the 12 steps. And there is an asterisk at the end of this paragraph. Please be sure to read Appendix 2 on spiritual experience, which says basically that I do not have to have a profound, sudden spiritual experience like Bill had. I don't have to have a white light experience. That is not required to begin to build this spiritual structure. Many of us don't get such experiences. We just have to start building on this belief or lack of belief, this willingness to believe that there is something greater than me that has worked for all of us, or these other people. And if it can work for them, it can work for me too. I'm no different. I'm not special. I'm unique, but I'm not special. I'm just one more human being that is absolutely able to recover if I am willing to believe and if I continue to work the 12 steps. It's not enough just to believe and expect it to happen to me. I have to pick up the spiritual tools that have been laid at my feet, and I have to use them. And I have to do it searchingly and fearlessly. And I really can only do it fearlessly if I do take this step, this risk. It's a risk of turning my will and my life over to the care of this higher power that I may not fully understand. And that's okay. One step at a time. But I do have to take the steps. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody. We have time for like two more shares. So if two more people would like to step up, give me your name and your state, please.
Laura W.
Okay, Laura W. Okay, wait. Laura W. and Yvonne P., was it?
P. P.
P as in book. Okay, great. All right, Laura W.
Can you hear? Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Excuse me. Good morning. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey, and I have a little frog in my throat all of a sudden. Excuse me. I've enjoyed the shares. I've really enjoyed the shares. And, you know, the question, are we even willing to believe? And I had to give up my right when I came into these rooms to think that I knew it all. And that's what I thought. I thought that, you know, I know my body. I know what I need. I know, you know, honestly, if I knew what I needed, I wouldn't have gotten myself into, you know, a state of anorexia and with medical problems, and I wouldn't have needed a treatment center. I wouldn't have needed, if I knew what I needed, I wouldn't be in the 12-step rooms. I mean, no offense to everybody on this line, but there's other things that I could be doing right now than being on a meeting. But you know what? I want to be here because it saves my life every day. And I was willing to believe that there was a power greater than myself. But I didn't think that power would be able to do it all for me. And I've been told on this meeting before that I experience God when my own resistance stops. So I had to give up that yeah, but, and what if response to everything that anybody told me. You know, okay, Laura, you need to have this, and you need to do this, and these are the steps you need to take. Yeah, but, you know, or what if this happens? And I needed to give that up. And I was willing to give that up because my way wasn't working, and I was exhausted 100% of the time, and I was living in complete chaos. So, you know, I find that when I threw up my arms and said, okay, show me the way, am I willing just to believe, and let me just do this, let me just try it and see what happens, you know? They'll give me my misery back if it doesn't work. So, and it talks about that cornerstone, you know, it's a structure, it's a savior, it's something, it's wonderfully effective, and that's what this entire program is to me. It's wonderfully effective based on maintenance of a spiritual condition one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.
Diane, star one to unmute. I think Diane might be having troubles. Yvonne D., would you share with us, please?
Hi, good morning. It's Yvonne D. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Yvonne. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Hi, good morning. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ and a compulsive overeater. So I love where we're at right now in the readings. I came in a believer. I've been a believer since I was a little girl. But when I put aside what I believed my higher power or God to believe to be, I was able to open my mind to what the program had to offer. It took me to a new level of understanding and a relationship with God that would allow me to put 90 days together. 3 days. When before I came to vision and got a sponsor and opened up my mind to what I believed God to be, I couldn't put 2 days together, a day, 24 hours together. I'm grateful for an amazing sponsor. I have an amazing sponsor, and I'm grateful for the meetings, and I appreciate the experience and the shares that I hear every morning. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Yvonne. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
That's okay.
Happened to my phone.
I'm driving. Okay.
Anyway, thank you to everyone who shared today. Amazing shares this morning. Thank you so much. We'll now close the reading with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, can I have Lois P. in New York to please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Diane, and good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you so much.